الحمد لله رب العالمين. وعليكم السلام والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue with the تفسير of سورة النساء للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي عليه رحمة الله. In our last session, we discussed some of the ayat pertaining to jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we dealt with the fundamental principles concerning that and the obligation of getting engaged in that, and we refuted the claimants of of Islam being a religion of total peace and whatever is said in the name of Islam among some of the du'at. May Allah rectify our condition and theirs. And anyone who recites or rereads the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would become clear and evident for him the legitimacy and the validity of this act of worship, which is considered to be among the peak and the most beloved among the acts of worship in Islam. Today, however, we'll be dealing with ayah number 75. Allah Azza wa Jal, before that, let me say, A'udhu billahi sami'il alimi min ash-shaytan rajim. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا. And what is wrong with you that you fight not in the cause of Allah, and for those weak, ill-treated, and oppressed among men, women, and children whose cry is, Our Lord, rescue us from this town whose people are oppressors, and raise for us from you one who will protect, and raise for us from you one who will help. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says in his commentary, هَذَا حَثٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِعِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَتَهِيجٌ لَهُمْ عَلَى الْقِتَالِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. This is encouragement from Allah to His believing slaves and inciting them to fight in His cause. وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ قَدْ تَعِيَّنَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَتَوَجَّهَ اللَّوْمُ الْعَظِيمِ عَلَيْهِمْ بِتَرْكِهِ. And that has become obligatory upon them, and the great blame has been directed towards them for abandonment of this act of worship. فَقَالْ وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, so what is the matter with you? You don't fight in the cause of Allah. والحال وأن المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا ومع هذا فقد نالهم أعظم ظلم من أعدائهم. And the state and the condition is that the ill-treated and the weak among men, women and children, those who have no means, no ability to escape, no way to go, yet they have received and they have undergone the greatest oppression from their enemies. فَهُمْ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ أَن يُخْرِجَهُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ. So they're begging Allah to make them go out of this town whose people are oppressors of themselves by committing kufr and shirk. And oppresses وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِالْأَذَى وَالصَّدِّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they harm the believers and oppress themselves by harming the believers and preventing people from the path of Allah. Now this is amazing. Allah Azza wa Jal is explaining to us how these Muslims who are living among the kuffar, while they wish to go, but Allah said, مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ, they're weak. And لَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا, they don't have the means to go. Meaning they want to migrate for the sake of Allah, but they're unable to migrate for the sake of Allah. And they're begging Allah, Oh Allah, remove us from this town whose people are oppressors. They don't want to be living among the kuffar. Even though Allah decreed that they are in a condition where they live among the kuffar. Why am I saying this? Because it is very unfortunate that the tables have turned around and now we find Muslims dying to live among the kuffar. They're dying. You meet them all the time. Oh brother, I can't stand, you know, and I have to go to Canada. Oh brother, I have to go to America. Brother, I have to go to the UK, you know, over there, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, subhanAllah. You want to go to the town, you want to go to the places where the people are oppressors to themselves and others, where kufr and shirk in Allah Azza wa Jal is around the clock, alcoholism, drug consumption, you know, fornication, adultery, sin, vile, you name it, it's there. So the Shabab, the Muslim youth are dying to go out there, and the true believers who happen to be there are begging Allah to take them out. This is what Iman does to someone. This is why the physical body is insignificant if the Iman does not reside in that body. Two people physically the same perhaps, one's Iman is making him beg Allah to make him leave the land of Kufr so he can live among the Muslims, and another one is begging Allah to take him to the land of Kufr and so he can leave the Muslims. Wallah al-musta'an. Wallah al-musta'an. Na'am. Wa man'ihim min ad-da'wati li dinihim wal-hijra. And these kuffar are also oppressors by preventing the Muslims from inviting to their religion and from migration. وَيَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ وَلِيًّا وَنَصِيرًا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا. And they're begging Allah to provide them with a protector and an aid. Someone who will save them from this town whose people are oppressors. فَصَارَ جِهَادُكُمْ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ مِنْ بَابِ الْقِتَالِ وَالذَّبِّ عَنْ عَيْلَاتِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ وَمَحَرِمِكُمْ. So now, when the condition is as such, jihad becomes just merely it falls under protecting your family, protecting your children, and protecting your women and your sacred things. Wa alaykum salam.
لأن باب الجهاد الذي هو الطمع في الكفار فإنه وإن كان فيه فضل عظيم ويلام المتخلف عنه أعظم لوم فالجهاد الذي فيه استنقاذ المستضعفين منكم أعظم أجرا وأكبر فائدة بحيث يكون من باب دفع الأعداء.
The Sheikh said because the jihad which has to do with in the interest in the lands of kufr, you see, Islam then, we said the jihad is of two kinds. Jihad is of two kinds. What are these two kinds? What are they? The main two kinds.
Jihad and nafs?
No. Leave jihad and nafs now. We're speaking about fighting.
Alright.
It's jihad, defensive and
warfare.
Offensive. Let's call it defensive and offensive. It's no harm in using this terminology. Offensive jihad, to open the lands, to fight. See, look, Islam is supposed to fight dhulm and kufr in the whole world. You see? Now, let us just change the standards. According to the United Nations and the different standards of the world, they get involved militarily when they believe that a country is performing some sort of dhulm, isn't it? When they say this country is oppressing its civilians, it is, you know, trying to conquer its neighboring country, something along these lines, you find all these, you know, Western forces with the United Nations and NATO and whatever, all of them want to get involved supposedly for what? They want to put an end to this oppressing government. And they use military power and no one complains. No one in the world complains. They say, yeah, you know, like when Iraq wanted to invade Kuwait, or when any of these, you know, Russian countries, you know, some of these navy, they wanted to invade one another, the Czechs and their neighbors, whatever. They get involved in the name of what? In the name of justice. That this is an oppressing country and it needs to know its limitations. So they bring their weaponry and their soldiers, and they do all kinds of things in order to aid this country which is being oppressed against the oppressing country. And they don't consider this to be a crime. Now we Muslims have the same mentality. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. No problem. Welcome akhi, ahlan. We Muslims have the same mentality. However, what are our standards? It is not only when a country is about to conquer another that this is dhulm. The greatest dhulm is kufr and shirk in Allah. It's preventing the Muslims from living their deen. It is, you know, preventing the da'wah from spreading. It is being hindering the path of Muslims in their da'wah. This is, in the sight of Allah, greater dhulm than the other countries. So it is legitimate then to go offensively against them. It's the same mentality. But we have been brainwashed by our own and the other media. So much so that the average Muslim has become afraid of what Allah legislated. And they try to hide it, you know, somewhere and put it under the carpet in order to please the kuffar. And they find acceptable what the media propagates, and they don't find acceptable what Islam teaches. Even though we're using the same standards, the same ideas, except that to them, dhulm is something, and to us, dhulm is something else. And there isn't a greater crime than kufr and shirk. This is the Luqman saying to his son, what? Inna dhulm, inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Shirk is the greatest form of oppression, more than anything else. So we have offensive and defensive. Now the Shaykh is saying, the jihad which is offensive, even though it is extremely virtuous and you're blameworthy for abandoning it, the greatest kind of blame, the one in which you're actually helping the weak Muslims is greater in reward, more beneficial, because it falls under defending the Muslims against their enemies. So the defensive one is superior and more rewarding to the offensive one. Because not only it is there for Allah's word to be the most supreme, but also it protects the Muslims from the attacks of their enemies. So Allah is addressing the believers, why don't you go out? What is the matter with you? You don't fight in the cause of Allah. While the condition of Muslims is as you see and as you hear. ثم قال, ayah number 76. الذين آمنوا يقاتلون في سبيل الله والذين كفروا يقاتلون في سبيل الطاغوت فقاتلوا أولياء الشيطان إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا. Those who believe fight in the cause of Allah, and those who disbelieve fight in the cause of Taghut, Satan. So fight you against the friends of Satan, ever feeble indeed is the plot of Shaitan. See the standards now? They're fighting for something, and the Muslims are fighting for something. They're fighting for conquering land, for power, and we're fighting for the word of Allah to be most supreme. And it's not about spilling blood. It is not about how many casualties you will find during the warfare. That is not of interest per se to the Muslims. What is important is that the kufr and the shirk and the attacks against Islam stop. As to the number of people dying, we're not interested in that. As opposed to the kuffar, who in World War I and World War II, and until today, they make it a point to kill as many people as possible, even though they claim otherwise. And you know, the Vietnam and all these things, how many people died? How many people, innocent people that had nothing to do with the warfare, nothing whatsoever. So this is a dhulm that these countries commit, but you know, somehow they claim that they are something else. But we don't buy that stuff. Now the Shaykh said, rahimahullah, هَذَا أَخْبَارٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بِأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Now this is Allah informing us that the believers actually fight in His cause. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ. Whereas those who disbelieve, or those who disbelieve, they fight in the cause of Satan. الَّذِي هُوَ الشَّيْطَانِ, which is Satan. طَاغُوت actually has a few, takes on different forms. Whoever rules by other than what Allah revealed, whoever calls people to worship Him, whoever people worship him and he approves of it, you know, and whoever claims to be a god, like Fir'aun, alayhi la'natullah, you know, who said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I am your Lord the Most High, and what have you. There are different forms of Tawud. But all of them basically are Satan and his soldiers. The Shaykh said, في ضمن ذلك عدة فوائد. There are a number of benefits included in that. منها, amongst them, أنه بحسب إيمان العبد يكون جهاده في سبيل الله وإخلاصه ومتابعته. Proportional to the belief of the slave, the level of iman which the slave has will be his struggle in the cause of Allah, his sincerity, and his following of the instructions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فالجهاد في سبيل الله من آثار الإيمان ومقتضياته ولوازمه. Fighting in the cause of Allah is one of the traces, one of the evidences of the existence of iman, one of its necessities and one of its obligations. وكما أن القتال في سبيل الطاغوت من شعب الكفر ومقتضياته. Similarly, fighting in the cause of Taghut is a branch of disbelief and one of its necessities as well. ومنها, another benefit, أن الذي يقاتل في سبيل الله ينبغي له ويحسن منه من الصبر والجلد ما لا يقوم به غيره. The one who fights in the cause of Allah, it is incumbent on him and it is expected of him to have patience and perseverance which you will not find amongst any other person. No one else could have it. فإذا كان أولياء الشيطان يصبرون ويقاتلون وهم على باطل. If the allies and the friends and the, you know, of Satan, they exercise patience and they fight while they're upon falsehood. فأهل الحق أولى بذلك. The people of truth are more. It's more befitting that they have these qualities and characteristics. كما قال تعالى في هذا المعنى إن تكونوا تألمون فإنهم يألمون كما تألمون وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون. الآية. Like Allah said in another ayah, if you are feeling pain, then they are feeling pain like you are feeling pain. But you hope from Allah that which they don't. You hope for the ajr, for jannah, for shahada, fi sabilillah, martyrdom. And they don't hope for any of that stuff. They're not looking for because they don't have anything promised to them. They're fighting strictly for worldly gain and material. If they win, they get some more booty. If they don't, then not. Muslims, even if they fail in a battle, still what is with Allah Azza wa Jal is superior and better. ومنها أن الذي يقاتل في سبيل الله معتمدا على ركن وثيق وهو الحق والتوكل على الله فصاحب القوة والركن الوثيق يطلب منه من الصبر والثبات والنشاط ما لا يطلب ممن يقاتل على الباطل الذي لا حقيقة له ولا عقبة حميدة. The one who fights in the cause of Allah while he relies upon a very strong foundation, and that foundation is the truth which he's fighting for, and reliance upon Allah. The one who is the possessor of power and strength, he's expected, and we ask of him to have patience and firmness and you know, energy. What we don't expect from someone who's fighting upon falsehood, which actually has no truth to it and no good outcome. فلهذا قال تعالى, that's what Allah said, فقاتلوا أولياء الشيطان إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا. Then fight against the أولياء of شيطان. Really, the plot of شيطان is ever weak. والكيد سلوك الطرق الخفية في ضرر العدو. What is كيد? إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. Now كيد, Kaid is one of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal which we don't give a name to. We don't say Allah is Al-Kaid, for instance. Furthermore, we only use it in retaliation to the Kaid of the Kuffar. Meaning we say the Kaid of Allah is greater than the Kaid of the Kuffar, but we never establish it as an individual quality. Because that, it is not necessarily praiseworthy. But it is praiseworthy when someone's trying to plot in a secretive way against you, to harm you, and then you're able to turn the tables around and plot against them. where in retaliation, it's fine. Otherwise, if it is not, it's not. That's why you always find when it comes in the Quran, it's always they do the kaid and Allah does the kaid. It's always in retaliation with the kaid of the kuffar. Kaid, the Sheikh said, is observing secretive methods to establish some harm or damage against the enemy. You know what I'm saying? Something which is done in a very slick way. You mean slick in harming the enemy. فالشيطان وإن بلغ مكره مهما بلغ فإنه في غاية الضعف الذي لا يقوم لأدنى شيء من الحق ولا لكيد الله لعباده المؤمنين. So the shaitan, even though his plotting and planning may reach a very high level, it is extremely weak when it stands against the truth or when it stands against the guide of Allah on behalf of his believing slaves. Now here, there's an interesting point. Now notice the ayah. The ayah said, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. And what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam, and An-Niswa, the women who were fascinated with his beauty. What happened at that stage with the wife of the Aziz and then the many women? What was the thing which was said about the women? Inna kaydakunna. They believe a couple of them. Inna kaydakunna azim. Or inna kaydahunna azim. The plot of the woman is great. And here, the plot of shaitan is weak. So some of them, you know, they think they're intelligent. They said, that means that the woman is more dangerous than the shaitan. Because, you know, Allah said about the plotting of the woman is azim, the plotting of the shaitan is da'if, meaning the woman is more dangerous than the shaitan. We say no. That's a false interpretation, because you have to understand them in the context in which they were revealed. The plotting of the woman pertaining to these matters is great. Here, the shaitan's plot is in comparison to Allah's. In comparison to Allah's, it's nothing. But the kaid of the woman is actually from the kaid of the shaitan. It is from him. He's the one who whispers to them all of these things which they did. So no one can come with the conclusion that, you know, women are worse than devils. Because the devils are the worst. And the devils are the ones who whisper unto human beings to, you know, follow their footsteps and be led astray. So na'am, that's what it is. Idan, ayat 77, go on to say, ألم تر إلى الذين قيل لهم كفوا أيديكم وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فلما كتب عليهم القتال إذا فريق منهم يخشون الناس كخشية الله أو أشد خشية وقالوا ربنا لم كتبت علينا القتال لولا أخرتنا إلى أجل قريب قل متاع الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى ولا تظلمون فتيلا. Have you not seen those who were told to hold back their hands from fighting and perform salah and give zakah? But when the fighting was ordained for them, behold, a section of them fear men as they fear Allah or even more, meaning more than they fear Allah. They say, our Lord, why have you ordained for us fighting? Would that you had granted us respite for a short period? Say, short is the enjoyment of this world. The hereafter is far better for him who fears Allah. And you shall not be dealt with unjustly, even equal to a scalish thread in the long slit of a date stone. And this whole English sentence for the word fatila. You know, for the word, the Arabic word fatila, you need a whole English sentence. A whole sentence in English to translate the word fatila. Ala kulli hal, Allah musta'an. Now, the Shaykh rahimahullah says, كان المسلمون إذ كانوا بمكة مأمورين بالصلاة والزكاة. أي مواساة الفقراء لا الزكاة المعروفة ذات النصب والشروط. فإنها لم تفرض إلا بالمدينة ولم يؤمروا بجهاد الأعداء لعدة فوائد. The Muslims early on in Mecca were established to, they were commanded to establish the Salah and the Zakah. And what is intended by Zakah then was simply being considerate and compassionate to the fuqara, to the poor. It did not mean the Zakah which we know today that has a nusub, which is like a limit, or a, we don't even call it a limit. When you reach that, which is like a particular amount, a fixed amount, after which you are expected to pay zakah. Nisab, it's called nisab. The nisab. And nor did it have the conditions. Zakah did not become obligatory until they migrated from Mecca to Medina. It became obligatory after the migration to Medina. So in the beginning, zakah meant be kind to the poor. Give some money. It wasn't 2.5% for the wealth and such for the animal and the livestock and whatever. It wasn't in the way we know it today. That was revealed in Medina. Early on in Mecca, it was simply being kind to the poor. And they were commanded to establish the salah as well. And they were not commanded to involve in jihad. They were not commanded to fight against the enemies for a number of benefits. Amongst them, number one, أن من حكمة الباري تعالى أن يشرع لعباده الشرائع على وجه لا يشق عليهم ويبدأ بالأهم فالأهم والأسهل فالأسهل. The wisdom of the originator, the sublime, is that necessitates that he legislates for his slaves the legislation in a manner which does not create hardship for them. So he begins with that which is more important, followed with that which is less important, and that which is easier, and then that which is easier, then things get more difficult. Yeah, Allah begins with things which are doable for them until they're trained to totally leave them alone. Like alcohol, the consumption of khamr. In the beginning, Allah mentioned, you know, some good and bad. Then He said, don't come to the salah while you are in a state of intoxication. Then He said, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to leave it alone or what? Are you going to stop, you know, drinking? And the Sahaba had graduated spiritually to the level of being able to abandon it upon revelation. Aisha said, had these things been revealed in the beginning, no one would have left him alone, because the iman wasn't sound yet, it wasn't strong enough. So this is the wisdom of Allah, that things are done gradually. You know, it is not all at once. That's why when you give da'wah, and if somebody ever embraces Islam at your hands, make sure that you make that a point. Tell them, take it easy. Don't be negligent. But don't think you can implement everything in Islam overnight. Slowly but surely. Salah is the most important thing. That don't play with. That don't play with. If someone embraces Islam with you, Salatul Isha, after Salatul Isha, then he's expected actually to pray Salatul Isha. He's expected to pray Salatul Isha because he entered Islam while the time was still there. That you don't play with. The issue of salah, you explain to him. He's going to say, what? Say, listen, my friend, you're a new Muslim. And you know who hates you the most now? Shaitan. He can't believe that you left his company. He can't believe that he lost you. He can't believe that you escaped his grip. And so if you give him some leeway, he's going to take you right back. Salah is that connection with Allah. You need the salah, you need to communicate with the Lord who guided you to further guide you and protect you from the plots of your enemy. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, and then you can give him an example. Somebody, you know, is being chased. He's being chased by the, you know, border police, you know. And he's innocent. طيب. Now, the border police, they're allowed to go into the neighboring country 10 meters. 10 meters. Once you cross the border, they have an agreement. 10 meters, if you cross, the soldiers are allowed. After 10 meters, khalas, he's in the other country, they have no access to him. And you're running away from these police, you're innocent, and they're going to take you to jail wrongfully. You're running away, and then you go, you stand at the line. Why? Run another 10 meters and save yourself. And it's dumb if you ran this whole distance, now that you made it to the very edge, that you know they can go in there and catch you, or you stand right before the border. Khalas, run these 10 steps, protect yourself, and then you can wave at them from distance. Hey, you guys can get me now. But you stand over there, they're going to catch you and take you back. So you've been running away from shaitan. Allah guided you. Don't give him access to you now. Specifically when Allah says in the beginning of I believe in Surah Ar-Rum or Al-Ankabut, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ وَأَيُّتْرَكُ وَأَيَّقُولُ أَمَنَّ وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think they will say we believe, they will be left alone saying we believe, and they will not be tested? You tell them you will be tested. Salah will keep you firm. Salah will strengthen your relationship with Allah. So make sure they do Salah. But everything else, we say, it will come naturally. When his iman grows, he will eventually start practicing these things. Don't tell him to do everything the next day. He will not be able to do it. Human beings will not be able to do it. Doesn't mean that they don't follow the teachings. It just means that there's a wisdom in the way they do it. The same way Allah Azza wa Jal dealt with his creation. Now, وَمِنْهَا another wisdom or benefit, أنه لو فرض عليهم القتال مع قلة عددهم وعددهم وكثرة أعدائهم لأدى ذلك إلى اضمحلال الإسلام فروعي جانب المصلحة العظمى على ما دونها ولغير ذلك من الحكم. The other benefit is that had fighting been made obligatory early on, while the Muslims were small in numbers and weak in terms of artillery and weaponry, they didn't really have enough weapons in the beginning, and the abundance of their enemies, that would have led to the extermination of Islam. So then that was taken into consideration, meaning the greater benefit was given over the lesser benefits. Meaning jihad was of benefit, but it was lesser than the maintenance and the growth of the believers. This is why many of the ulama, when people speak about jihad today and they get excited, they say, listen, slow down. What are you going to fight your enemies with? What are you going to go with, some stones, some rocks, while they have missiles and you know, rockets and bombs and all kinds of advanced weaponry? You don't destroy yourself. They will wipe you out. They will literally wipe you out. So not that it is, that's why you need an emir, you need someone in charge who can evaluate, someone who's knowledgeable of the politics of the countries and what's going on, someone who can actually evaluate whether this jihad is actually fruitful or not. Now of course, if a Muslim country is being attacked, then the default state is it's obligatory on the inhabitants of that country to get engaged in jihad against their enemies. We're talking about offensive. This one is not a joke. It is not that a group of people get excited and say, come on, let's get our hands on some, you know, AK-47s and machine gun and let's go out fi sabilillah. No, Habibi. It is not haphazard and it is not per desires. It is a structured, organized act of worship, and it is to be performed in this fashion. When people don't do it like this, they usually cause more damage than good. They usually cause more harm than good. So it is not a matter of emotionalism. You get emotional, you want to know. We have to obey Allah and His Messenger in every aspect of our deen, including that one. Hey, so we have to be careful. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وَكَانَ بَعْضُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوَدُّونَ لَوْ أَنَّ لَوْ فُرِضَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ في تلك الحال غير اللائق فيها ذلك وإنما اللائق فيها القيام بما أمر به في ذلك الوقت من التوحيد والصلاة والزكاة ونحو ذلك. Some of the believers had hoped that fighting would have been legislated for them early on in that stage, even though it was not suitable for them. What was suitable for them then was the tawheed, maintaining and observing the oneness and uniqueness of Allah, salah and zakah and other acts of worship. كما قال تعالى ولو أنهم فعلوا ما يعظون به لكان خيرا لهم وأشد تثبيتا. Had they done what they were admonished and exhorted to do, that would have been better for them and more means of being firm. فلما هاجروا إلى المدينة وقوي الإسلام, then when they migrated to Medina and Islam became strong, كتب عليهم القتال في وقته المناسب لذلك. Fighting was legislated for them and made obligatory upon them in a time which was suitable for them. That was the correct time for them to get engaged yet. When they moved to Medina and then the Muslims were strong and powerful. فقال فريق من الذين يستعجلون القتال قبل ذلك خوفا من الناس وَضَعْفًا وَخَوَّرًا. A group of those who used to say before, we want to fight. When they were in Mecca, they're saying, why isn't fight legislated? We want fighting to be legislated. Now after they moved to Medina, the same people who had before asked for fighting, they said out of fear of people, out of weakness and out of feebleness, رَبَّنَا لِمَا كَتَبْتَ عَلَيْنَا الْقِتَالِ. Our Lord, why have you legislated fighting for us? وَفِي هَذَا تَضَجُّرُهُمْ وَاعْتِرَاضُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And this expression of theirs indicates their displeasure, their discomfort, and their objection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ ضِدَّ ذَلِكَ هَذِهِ الْحَالِ. What was expected of them is a condition in opposition to that which they were upon. التَسْلِيمُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَالصَّبْرِ عَلَى وَالصَّبْرَ عَلَى أَوَامِرِهِ. التَسْلِيمَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَالصَّبْرَ عَلَى أَوَامِرِهِ. They should have submitted to the command of Allah and they should have been patient concerning His commandments. فَعَكَسُوا الْأَمْرَ الْمَطْلُوبِ مِنْهُمْ. So الْأَمْرَ الْمَطْلُوبَ مِنْهُمْ. So they twisted around the things which they were commanded to do. فَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنَا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Oh Allah, give us some respite. Respite and respite, both are pronounced in English depending on British and American English, just in case you prefer one over the other. So the, which is basically some leeway, postponement. Give us some time. أَيْهَلَّ أَخَّرْتَ فَرْضَ الْقِتَالِ مُدَّةً مُتَأَخِّرًا عَنْ الْوَقْتِ الْحَاضِرِ. Now they're saying, Allah, why don't you delay the legislation of fighting for some later period? Not right now. وهذه الحال كثيرا ما تعرض لمن هو غير رزين واستعجل في الأمور قبل وقتها. This often happens to the person who does not take his time and who kind of rushes and hastes into things before their time is around. فالغالب عليه أنه لا يصبر عليها وقت حلولها ولا ينوء بحملها. Very often the same person is not patient when the thing comes. And nor does he have the power to carry it and to carry that burden. بل يكون قليل الصبر. Rather, he is weak in patience. He has little patience. So the Sheikh is saying, generally speaking, when someone rushes for something before its time, when it actually comes, he's unable to deal with it correctly. Had he waited for its right time, it would have been better and more suitable for him. ثم إن الله وعظهم عن هذه الحال التي فيها التخلف عن القتال. Then Allah admonished them concerning a condition in which they will turn away from fighting. فقال قل متاع الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى. Say to them, the entertainment, the pleasure, the fun, whatever you want to call it of this world is little, and the life to come or the last one is better for the one who fears Allah. أي التمتع بلذات الدنيا وراحتها قليل. Enjoying the pleasures of this dunya and its comfort is little. فتحمل الأثقال في طاعة فتحمل الأثقال في طاعة الله في المدة القصيرة مما يسهل أو يسهل على النفوس ويخف عليها. Carrying the weight and the responsibility of obedience to Allah in a short period, it lightens the hardship and it makes it easier to deal with. When you know that, yes, but it's only a short period. Yes, there's a lot of sacrifice, but it's only mudda qasira. It's a short period. If it was a long period, you would, like someone said, you're going to go to prison, but it's only for 2 days. Or someone says you're going to prison for 20 years. Which one would you feel, more comfortable with? The first one, say 2 days, not a big deal. طيب, 2 days, 48 hours, and then I'm free again. So when you know that the period is short, you're mentally, psychologically, better prepared to deal with it. When it's long, it becomes difficult. 20 years in prison, then you're gonna, you may die before you make it to prison out of worry and stress. But here, we're learning the same lesson with the dunya. Yes, you have to pray 5 times a day, fast the month of Ramadan, lower your gaze, enjoin the good, forbid the evil, give da'wah, be righteous, keep your kinship ties, be patient in da'wah, all these things, but it's a short period of time. Then you're going to be in Jannah forever and ever and ever. So when you know that, it becomes easier for you to deal with the burdens. لِأَنَّهَا إِذَا عَلِمَتْ لأنها إذا علمت أن المشقة التي تنالها لا يطول لبثها هان عليها ذلك. So when it knows that this hardship will not be long, it becomes easier. فكيف إذا وازنت بين الدنيا والآخرة. How is it then when you actually compare them between the dunya and the akhira? وأن الآخرة خير منها في ذاتها ولذاتها وزمانها. The life to come is better than the worldly life in its essence itself and in its pleasures and its duration. فذاتها كما ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الثابت عنه إن موضع صوتي في الجنة خير من الدنيا وما فيها. The essence of Jannah was explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said the place on which you place your cane or the salt, which is like the one that is used for lashing, if I'm not mistaken, is better than this dunya and whatever's upon it. Pay attention. Not the Hur al-Ain, not your diamond castle. No, no. The place where you put something, okay? Just this, the mere place where you place something on it is in Jannah is better than this whole dunya and whatever's upon it. You can think of the diamonds and the jewelry and the Lamborghinis and the Ferraris and the waterfalls and the natural beauty of Allah's creation and all that. All the money and all the clothes and all the women. Put them all together. They're not better than where you put, you know, your, let's say, your pair of shoes in Jannah. So when you know that, hey, you'll think differently. That's for sure. وَلَذَّاتُهَا صَافِيَةٌ عَنِ الْمُكَدِّرَاتِ. The pleasures of the dunya, life to come, are free from any kind of defects. Anything which will run right now, sometimes, you know, if you're married or if you're not married, but usually if you're married, it's like the day of Eid and you're excited to take the family out and, you know, enjoy yourself and have fun and whatever. You're wearing your, you know, brand new thobe which you paid, you know, I don't know how much for and everything. And in the midst of this whole fun, you spill some juice on your thobe. And your party's over. It's over. Now, or your, one of your children, you know, breaks his, you know, ankle or his arm, or you fight with your wife because she made you wait, you know, half an hour in the car, or maybe more, as usual. Brothers, you know, suffer fi sabilillah with their, you know, woman. I'll be there in 5 minutes. 5 minutes usually means 50 minutes, more or less. So usually a little thing, it ruins the whole fun. And you're driving like this, you know, everybody's having fun, like, you just want to go back home. But that was supposed to be the day of Eid. Something very small ruined your fun. So Jannah is free from anything which may ruin it. Nothing will ruin it. Nothing will happen. I'll say, oh, you know, I wish that had never happened. Everything is going to be lovely and dandy. That's why, you know, you never get it all good in the dunya. بل كل ما خطر بالبال أو دار في الفكر من تصور لذة فلذة الجنة فوق ذلك. Whatever you are able to imagine and fabricate in your mind of what will be the ultimate pleasure, Jannah is more pleasurable than that. يعني whatever pleasure you can imagine, you will fail to imagine the actual pleasure of Jannah. You can only imagine how good something would be. You know what I'm saying? But there is going to be greater than that. كما قال تعالى فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين. No soul knows what has been hidden and prepared for it for of the pleasure of the eye. وقال الله على لسان نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم أعددت لعبادي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. أن حديث قدسي الله said on the tongue of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, I have prepared for my righteous slaves what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and has never come across a human's heart, meaning he has never imagined it. وأما لذات الدنيا فإنها مشوبة بأنواع التنغيص الذي لو قوبل بين لذاتها وما يقترن بها من أنواع الآلام والهموم والغموم لم يكن لذلك نسبة لوجه من الوجوه. As for the pleasures of the dunya, it is full of you know, obstacles and hindrances, that if you were to compare the actual pleasure you have with all the pain and the stress and the worry, you will find that there's absolutely no, you know, percentage of happiness or pleasure whatsoever. It's very, very insignificant. وَأَمَّا زَمَانُهَا, as for the duration, فَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا مُنْقَدِيَةٌ وَعُمُرُ الْإِنسَانِ بِالنِّسْبَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا شَيْءٌ يَسِيرٌ. As for the duration of the dunya, it is bound to expire. And the duration or the lifespan of the human being in it is something very small. وَأَمَّا الْآخِرَةُ فَإِنَّهَا دَائِمَةٌ نَعِيمٌ. As for the life to come, it is eternally blissful, eternal delight. وَأَهْلُهَا خَالِدُونَ فِيهَا. And its inhabitants will abide therein eternally. وَفَإِذَا فَكَّرَ الْعَاقِلُ فِي هَاتَيْنِ الدَّارَيْنِ وَتَصَوَّرَ حَقِيقَتَهُمَا حَقَّ التَّصَوُّرِ. If the intellectual, sound-minded person reflects upon these two abodes and he imagines or he interprets them correctly as the right image of both of them, not physical image, عَرَفَ مَا هُوَ أَحَقُّ بِالْإِثَارِ وَالسَّعِي لَهُ وَالْإِجْتِيَاجِ طَلَبِهِ. He will know which one is more deserving of being favored and the one which requires effort, and he would strive in acquiring it. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. The life to come is better for the one who has taqwa, أَيِ اتَّقَى الشِّرْكَ وَسَائِرِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. Meaning he protected himself from shirk and the rest of the prohibitions. وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا فَسَعْيُكُمْ لِلدَّارِ الْآخِرَةِ سَتَجِدُونَهُ كَامِلًا مُوَفَّرًا غَيْرَ مَنْقُوصٍ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. You will not be oppressed, not even that small tiny line you find on the back of that seed and the date. Very tiny little thing. Even that much you will not be oppressed, the Shaykh said, meaning you will get in your the effort which you strive for, you will get it in the life to come, complete, perfect, without anything being taken away from it. And with this, inshaAllah ta'ala, we conclude our dars. Bi-ithnillah, if we all remain alive and healthy, we'll be dealing with ayat 78 and 79 and the rest of the ayat. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.